So hello and welcome to Social Justice Matters, a podcast from Social Justice Ireland. I'm Colette Bennett, Research and Policy Analyst, and with me today is Sean Healy, CEO of Social Justice Ireland. How are you doing, Sean?
Hanging in there.
Good stuff.
Busy after a long budget series of engagements, but anyway, we're still hanging in there.
And speaking of the budget, the budget every year tends to be one of the flagship pieces of work for Social Justice Ireland. Why did you decide that that would be what you'd focus on?
I think the critical idea we have and had all along is that the budget basically is where the government decides to allocate the money that it has available. So this year, for example, there'll be about 70 billion euro allocated in the budget. That's the key amount, if you like. And that's divided up in particular ways and directions. Choices are made to allocate some of the money to services and some of it to infrastructure and to give some of it maybe to education and more of it to some kind of a program on the Midlands to sort of mitigate against carbon problems or carbon consequences of the carbon tax and so on. There's a whole lot of different things. Whatever it is, we basically think that's the critical set of decisions the government makes every year. Obviously, they do other things that aren't budget related, but budget is critical, and that's why we've always focused on it. Very important to see where the government, what decisions the government is making, what their choices are, how they're actually dividing the resources, where they're putting the emphasis, and more importantly, sometimes, where they're not putting their emphasis.
And you've been at this for over 30 years. How does Budget 2020 compare to, say, some of the other budgets that you would have seen in terms of fairness, in terms of addressing inequalities, and in terms of just, I suppose, investment?
In terms of overall a review of the budgets that we have kind of analysed and critiqued over the past 30 plus years, this is one of the worst. And the reason for that is that it betrays the vulnerable. Now, very rarely in our time could we put a budget betrays the vulnerable as a headline on page one of our analysis. And yet it's there in this year's analysis of Budget 2020. And why? Because basically the decisions the government made have created a situation where large numbers of poor people are not actually going to benefit in any way from the budget. Yet, because of the cost of living will be rising normally anyway, and that would put some additional costs onto their onto their bills, if you like. But on top of that, Brexit is coming, and we're looking at a cost, for example, of an increase of about 892 euro, somewhere between that and 1,300 euro, being a rise in the cost of living, partly because of the Brexit issue. Now, if the cost of living is going to go up somewhere in the region of 1,000 euro for the average Irish household, that means that they need those resources to deal with that, or else they're falling behind and not doing so well, obviously losing out. So as a result of this budget, not dealing with the cost of living issue for the poorest and not dealing with the budget crash for many of the poorest, we have a situation where the vulnerable basically are being left behind. The gap between them and the rest of society will widen, and that's not something that we should be proud of, not something that we should be positive about.
So why do you think governments make decisions like this? What do you think is behind this?
Well, I think maybe at the budget for 2020, the government wanted to be cautious because of Brexit, and I can understand that, and I can accept that the budget needed to be a cautious budget. But the problem is that at a time of a cautious budget, you must give priority to the vulnerable, particularly in times when resources are scarce. You make choices that prioritize the vulnerable and protect them. Why? Because they are the people least capable of actually dealing with the impacts of whatever the crisis may be. Now we have a situation where that is not respected. where very substantial amounts of money are being allocated, where the government, fair enough, is being cautious and putting money aside and so on in a fund to deal with the Brexit issue. But the reality is that the poor, poorest of the poor, have a situation in which they have received no increase. At the moment, we have an interesting situation where TDs will see their salaries rise by about €30 a week, that's €1,600 over the year, in the coming year. Even if they only got half of that, sort of €15 a week into their pockets, that means they're €15 a week better off. There's a whole load of people on social welfare and they're not going to have 1 cent better off. Not alone that, there's an additional piece that flows from that, and that is that the wider society sees its salaries increase on a regular basis. And the forecast for the coming year is that the increase will be about 3% in salary in a variety of different ways. It comes in increments or it comes in salary increases or whatever. But 3% is the average that they'll be better off. So as well as getting money in the budget or not getting money in the budget, as the case may be this year, for example, for a lot of people who are taxpayers, they will see their salaries increase. And while a part of the increase will go in to the revenue and pay their tax and BRSI, at the same time, there's a part of it that will come to themselves. They will see their income grow. So the vast majority of people in the in Irish society will see their incomes grow in 2020. The exception will be the poorest. Among many of those who are among the poorest won't have a single penny or cent more in 2020 than they had in 2019, and that simply isn't good enough.
Now, speaking of wage increases, we know, for example, that almost 110,000 people who are in work are experiencing poverty, so they have incomes below the poverty line. What do you make of today's announcement that the increase in the minimum wage is going to be postponed until next year? Is that a prudential Brexit measure or something that is quite regressive?
I believe that that was a mistake by government. I'm very surprised that they didn't increase it when the Low Pay Commission had recommended that it be increased. However, we have a situation where the minimum wage is quite a distance below the living wage. It's about €2.50 an hour below the living wage, and I think that needs to be redressed. There's a large number of people, as you say, who are the working poor, and their situation needs to be addressed because they are among the vulnerable as well. And while they may receive increases, they will only receive very small increases because of the fact that they're on the minimum wage. That won't change.
For budget 2020, who do you see as being the winners and losers?
I suppose the winners basically are business, particularly. They have been the big winners. And I think that's partly because a fair amount of money has been set aside to deal with the Brexit reality that they need to have addressed. And I agree with those kinds of choices of putting good resources in there. But I'd also see a part of what I'd welcome would be the increase in stamp duty on non-residential property. This is something which we in Social Justice Ireland have been advocating for quite some time, and this is something we certainly register. The fund, as I said, to deal with Brexit is good. The carbon tax increase, this is a plus and a minus. Like, we argued that it should be €10 and it's 6. We welcome the 6. But the piece that's problematic is that they didn't put the mitigation into place on the scale that's required, and they certainly haven't put the kinds of just transition initiatives into place that are required to make that work, if you like. So we have some problems on that side. The biggest losers by far are the people in social welfare, where so many vulnerable people, Ireland's most vulnerable, will not benefit at all in 2020. The lack of an increase in the minimum wage is very problematic in that context as well. There's another issue, if you like, and that is the lack of transparency in the budget itself. I think there's issues there. There's a whole set of problems around housing that were not addressed, particularly the whole issue of trying to prevent homelessness, if you like, and prevent precariousness in the whole housing area. Little was done on that. So I think there's a lot of losers in this budget. But as I said, the most vulnerable are, there's a lot of decisions that were not taken that could have been taken and could have been financed.
That leads me very nicely into my next question in terms of, you know, you've welcomed the fact that there was a Brexit fund, and this again, as I say, has been very much hailed as a Brexit budget. What could have been done differently to prepare for Brexit and take care of the vulnerable?
I think the most important thing to recognise is that in a tough situation that may be ahead, it's very important that the society's infrastructure in areas like housing and public transport and broadband, that these are brought up to the levels that they need to be at for people to be able to live lives with dignity. There's also a need to bring the services up to the levels required. So the health services, the education services, the other services provided by the Department of Social Protection. Now, I think that some progress was made around the periphery of the social protection area, but as I keep saying, the big losers in this whole budget were the most vulnerable, who got no increase in their social welfare rates. Now, the other pieces, there are issues there as well. But the point, I suppose, is that if government was going to deal with this, they would require more income, if you like, so that they could actually pay for the various improvements or increases that they were looking for. And what is they weren't prepared to do what was required in that area, because we have a situation, I think, on the tax side, where, for example, corporations, some of the richest corporations in Ireland pay zero tax in Ireland. I think about 8 of them pay nothing at all. And that's 8 of the top 100. And that's not us just saying that, that's the Controller and Auditor General in a recent report. Likewise, there's people or the companies paying only 1% of their total profits in tax. I think we need a minimum effective corporate tax rate, which means that we would recommend 6%. So therefore, every company would have to pay a minimum of 6% of its profits in tax. And I think if we did that, we'd have a fairer situation for even in the corporate sector, because large numbers of companies in the corporate sector actually pay a fair share of tax, and they go close to the 9, 10, 11%, that kind of rate that brings them close to paying the 12.5% full rate for corporate tax. But the problem is some of the biggest get nothing at all, pay nothing at all, and I think that's highly unfair and needs to be dealt with. Likewise, tax expenditure. We give about 7 billion euro a year in tax breaks. And that's there's a myriad of these kinds of breaks out there that people benefit from, companies benefit from, all sorts of different groupings benefit from. When a tax break is given, it should always be for a definite purpose that is positive, and it needs not just to be reviewed regularly to see whether it's achieving the purpose, but there should also be a sunset clause where we need to take a serious look. Do we need this tax break to be kept in place, really?
And just for those who might not know, what exactly is a sunset clause?
A sunset clause is where there would be that a tax break would be given for a certain period of time, and that would be it. They'd stop it after that, okay? And for example, during after the crash, the hospitality industry was allowed to pay a lower level of VAT. Now, that was seen as a tax break for them. They had to pay less to the revenue, so they and that was because they were in a difficult situation. But then the situation improved and the hospitality industry was doing very well, and the government put the full VAT rate back on them last year in the budget that they published this time last year. And that, for us, was something that we had been advocating and arguing for. And I think that's a very positive thing.
You mentioned there in relation to corporations who are paying very low levels of corporation tax. There is a narrative around that you know, they're providing jobs, they're stimulating the economy in other ways, and that without them, there'd be many more people who would need to receive social welfare. What would be your response to that?
I just don't accept that as an argument. I hear it regularly enough, but I think on a closer look, people would realise that many of these corporations are in Ireland for other reasons besides the tax rate that we actually have. And I think we have to face up to the fact that we have not been the best of states, if you like, in terms of being fair with taxation, corporate taxation in particular I'm talking about now, and that we're seen as a tax haven even by many. And the rules are changing. The OECD, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, which has all of the better off countries in the world as members, they are changing the rules fundamentally. Ireland has no choice but to go along with that. Our view would be that Ireland should kind of go and be a leader in the new dispensation. And that would, for example, lead Ireland to put on a minimum effective corporate tax rate, that kind of idea. And then obviously engage in other pieces as well. If we don't do some things along those kinds of lines, we're going to be forced to adjust our corporate tax regime anyway, whether we like it or not, in the coming period, because the rest of the world is going to insist that we actually do it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. At the end of the day, we should have a fair tax system where those who have more pay more, those who have less pay less, and that those who pay more pay a fair share. It isn't just that they pay more than the poor or people who have no resources, but that they pay a fair share of the total tax. And the total tax in the country should be sufficient to provide the services and the infrastructure and the supports that are required to have a decent society where every man, woman and child has what's required to live life with dignity and can do so.
One area other than Brexit that, you know, the budget was meant to really make waves on was obviously climate. And, you know, to address the fact that we are the self-professed laggards when it comes to climate change. And this was going to be very much a green budget. Has it fulfilled any promises in that regard?
I suppose there's some progress in the sense that the carbon tax issue is now being dealt with. €6 a year ton in 2020 is the decision, an additional €6 a ton. We would have argued for 10, so I would have liked to have seen 10. However, I would also like to see a whole lot of other things done at the same time that were not done. And I'm very concerned about the mitigation, for example. And the mitigation is about protecting people on the margin, whether they're vulnerable people because they have low incomes or because they're living in remote rural areas or that they don't have access to public transport and they're dependent on carbon driven cars, whether that's petrol or diesel and so on, that their bills will go up because of this rise. Now, it can the argument can be made that it's not a lot of money, but if the people are on very low incomes in the first place, then that's a serious issue. But not just that, there's a whole lot of other issues, for example, having to move away from peat and things of that nature. And some of the initiatives, including the Midland Initiative, is a step in the right direction, trying to deal with the Bordermona and ESB workers who will lose their jobs in that situation. And I think we need a whole lot of work, more work done. And the government needs to be far more proactive in dealing with the initiatives that are required so that we can have a just transition from the situation we're currently in, where climate is a serious issue and we need to deal with carbon and our overconsumption or our overuse of carbon. And we have to move from there to a situation where people can still have, where they have livelihoods and their way of life and so on can be protected and lived out. And the problem is, if you have to switch your job or change your job, you need to be reskilled. There needs to be other jobs available. Maybe in agriculture, it involves a very substantial change to a different type of agriculture. But I don't see the kinds of initiatives on the scale required to get us to do this, on the scale required in the time frame that we have. Because at the end of the day, we're facing very serious consequences on climate within the next 10 years. And nothing that's done in this budget would suggest to me that climate was that high on our agenda. And people might say, okay, Ireland is just a very small country. We don't have a huge amount of impact in the overall scheme of things. But I think we should, again, be setting good examples and be setting, carrying forward in a good way what needs to be done in this kind of space. So.
And finally, the Taoiseach yesterday or the day before referred to this as being the social justice budget. As the CEO of Social Justice Ireland, what do you make of that?
Yes, you're correct. He did, the Taoiseach did say that this was going to be a social justice budget. However, there's very little evidence to support this claim. I would say basically that the budget lacks social justice, and it lacks it to such an extent that if a hard Brexit emerges, which looks likely, there's an unavoidable need for a supplementary budget to ensure the vulnerable are protected from its inevitable impact. Now, I know the Minister for Finance and the Taoiseach and various other members of government have gone on and on and on about the fact that they will not do a supplementary budget because of whatever happens when Brexit comes. The problem I see in that is that they're basically reneging on their responsibilities to the most vulnerable, and they're basically saying these people can live the way they are, and they go further and further away from the mainstream, and the gaps widen and between them and the rest of society, and they can stay there for another year. That for me is completely unacceptable. We have resources to make a difference. We could deal with the lack of social justice in the budget, but it will require, it will be absolutely essential that we have a supplementary budget to ensure the vulnerable are protected from the inevitable impact of the budget, of Brexit, that is coming down the line.
Sean Healy, CEO of Social Justice Ireland, thank you very much.
Thank you, Colette.